Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, all flight controllers, I'm going around the horn. Make your go-no goes based on the data you have for LOS. I see we got it back. Give you another few seconds.
We're going, flying.
Okay, retro, go. Fido, go. Guide,
go.
Control,
go.
Telcom,
go.
GNC,
go.
Econ,
go.
Surgeon,
go.
Capcom, we're go to continue PDI.
Coming to you live from the Haunted Studios in Shingle Springs, California, this is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio with your host, John Almada.
And it's Sunday night. We are in the early part of December. This year went by awfully quickly, and I am just amazed at how cold it is out here in California. It's not supposed to be cold here. It's supposed to be cold elsewhere, back east, but not here. But yeah, it is a cool one. And I had to heat up the studio a couple hours before coming in, so we are nice and toasty in here. And let's see, I am currently battling. I've been having a spate of little technical glitches before the show here, and I'm currently battling. I'm going to try something with you guys here. I'm trying to get the volume to come up on my audio, so I'm hoping, because I cannot seem to catch the and maybe that will bring it up. I cannot seem to get the feed from Blog Talk to come up very loud, and I did not change anything since last night. So anyway, we'll make do, and if we have to take a break and I can work that out later, we'll do that. But right now, we have a show tonight, and we have our friends from Ghost and Spirit Paranormal here with us. They've been with us many, many times and have always gone over their cases with us and been very gracious about providing evidence and things that they're doing. And so we're going to talk about all things paranormal and ghost hunting and ghost equipment and that kind of thing. So basically, I'm not sure quite where to go with it, but I think maybe we should just call on these guys, since they are experts, to use their considerable knowledge base. I mean, and occasionally I know a thing or two also, but call us up and ask your questions. Probably on the 8:30, about 8:30, we'll take a short break, and then we'll launch into maybe some evidence analysis, and then we'll kind of freeform it. But do pop on with questions, and not only in chat, but on the phone, and we'll bring you in and get you talking with these guys. They're in Pennsylvania, not too far from Gettysburg. And if you want to check their site out, it's gasp paranormal. I kind of think that's going to be gasp. Paranormal, G-A-S-P, no double P's here, gaspparanormal.ucoz.net. And I'm going to post that in the chat room for our guests here who are here with us tonight. Cut and paste, and that works. The miracle of Ubuntu. All right, so I am going to introduce, we have three of the good gentlemen from there. Two of them are founders, Don Rehm and Scott Wise are with us, and Bill Hyland, who spells his name H-I-E-L-A-N-D. So he is with us, and I think he's with Scott right now. So they're going to be sharing the phone line. We've already got how many callers? All right, so I've got the two of them on hold. I'm going to go ahead and bring these gentlemen on. They've been they're a relatively new organization, by the way, before we jump into it. They've been around about a year, I think, as a formal group, but they've got loads and boatloads of experience from past lives and other organizations, have a considerable skill base. So let's go ahead and bring them all on. I'm going to hit those buttons, and things are starting to work again. We've got technology on our side finally. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello. How are you?
Hello. Doing good. Yeah, we can hear you.
All right, I had to drop Skype and call back in 717. I was getting double talk.
I'm. You sound better now. I did discover something on yesterday's show. I had a little feedback loop of my own going on, all my fault here in the studio. And when you said that, I had a horror for a moment there, and I realized no, it wasn't me because I have it all turned down. The thing that was causing it. So, but you can hear me fine, and I hope everyone in the chat room is able to say we're coming through good. So I'll watch for those confirmations. But anyway, gentlemen, it's good to have you back. It's been, 2-3 months, Scott, since we've been had you guys on?
Yeah, about that, yeah.
And what has been happening? Let's catch up where we left off. What happened in the last 3 months that you guys have been up to? We'll just start there.
We had, last few months, we had two investigations. Well, we had some cemetery ones, too. We'll just start with a place called Pudon's Lost Cajun Kitchen. It's located in Columbia, in Lancaster County, PA.
Okay.
And it's owned by David and Sharon Pudon. And it's been used to 1800s hotel to do the restaurant. It's once
okay.
known for food baggers and gangsters used to hang out there. And they have several different parallel investigative groups getting good evidence out there. So we decided to try it. It's got good stuff.
Yeah, and I think we have a few of those EVPs up on that. And I know also you load your stuff up also out on the GASP website. So is that evidence out there from that, by the way?
Yes, there is.
Okay,
I have a few more I can add, but the best ones are up there.
Okay, and give us the particulars. What happened when you went out there?
Hey, Don, you want to tell me your experience in the basement?
Was in the basement of this place, and I had brought my daughter along and her boyfriend, first time they ever did this. And, of course, we had one flashlight, and she took it. She was scared. All the lights were out. You couldn't see your hand in front of your face.
Mm-hmm.
Her rug on a shelf. And me and Scott joke around sometimes, and there was a back stairway to get down there. And I thought for sure, I told her to give me the flashlight. I had to fire to get it. I thought for sure when I turned it on, Scott would be there with his hand shaking this bag. Because I heard this bag being shook. And, of course, when I turned the flashlight, there was no one there. That was
oh, my
cool.
God.
And what was really about it was I had one of the cheaper EMF detectors, the one that beeped, and it beeped once, and then I started hearing this sound. And when I got the flashlight and looked, there was nothing there, and then everything stopped, but that was pretty neat.
Wow. And is this room has been known to have activity before, correct?
Yes.
Do they know who this spirit might be?
I seem to think it's one of the old cooks who used to live in the rooms above who committed suicide in his room. They say he's a jokester and runs around down there, and they got stuff flying off shelves and stuff being moved, and I seem to think who that was. Now, Scott has a very good related story for that, telling Scott.
Oh, and what's that?
Scott there?
Are you there, yeah. Scott?
Well, you broke out for a second. What'd you say, Don?
I said the same exact spot that actually it was a big bag full of the little things you tear open with salt. And it was sitting firmly on the shelf, and that's what was being shooken around. Remember that spot, Scott? Tell them
oh, yeah.
Spot.
No, that's when Well, two things happened at that spot. The first thing was me and the two girls that were with us, Angie and I forget Elise's name, who was with us that night as a guest. I'm not sure what her name was. But I set the recorder down on that shelf that Don's talking about, and the girls called me over to go outside to show me something back in the basement that they heard a noise or something. And then, like, after reviewing, when I walked away, there's actually a tapping on the recorder. But not much longer after that, we had moved over to that area, and I felt something, like something was behind me. I just got this chill or something like cold touched the back of my neck. And I said, Andy, take a picture real quick. And that's when we got that picture of that black mist that we sent you.
Now, that's an interesting thing. We have had here on cases I've been on, the tapping on the recorders. It seems like it's a... it started, it was about 3 years ago I had my first experience of that, and then we started noticing it on more and more investigations. And it's as if they understand on the other side now. They're on to us, you know. And yeah. They just come up and like, yeah, we're around. And they just know. And and we've talked about this, I think, a little bit in the past, but for those who are new listening to this kind of thing, different cases and different sites have different personalities, you know, going in. And this was your first time at this site, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Escaped. What was like the kind of the overriding personality of the EVPs? Because, what we see here are different characteristics. There was a place we went to in Placerville, one of our investigations, where the sound of coins dropping and poker chips being moved was real characteristic and throughout a lot of the EVPs. So, and that's kind of what I mean by that. So was there anything unique in kind of the overall analysis when you guys saw that would indicate like the personality? I know this is imprecise, but you get what I'm getting at.
Well, there's more of a personality than I think there was that man we think was there. We feel like there's a little girl there also. For the EVPs got. Other than that, I don't remember anything. Did you, Don?
Not really. I mean, it was nothing that happened over and over again, or no sound that repeated itself, really.
Do you intend to go back to the site? I mean, you do a follow-up?
We tried to do at least another one. We at least tried to do two for each place we investigate.
Yeah, that's the thing we've noticed. We've hit them a number of times and found that we've begun to recognize some of the voices even. So you kind of know who's who when you get there, you know. It was surprising. You know, at first we weren't thinking of that. We would just go to a site because, well, okay, you know, let's just hit that place again and we'll see what we get. And then we started noticing that it was kind of valuable to go back and do this two or three times, and sometimes more. And not only that, they would get to know our names. You guys have had that happen, right? You've been referred to by name?
Oh, yes. I think we all have. Bill, too. Yeah.
I mean, for you, I mean, when you first heard your names being called by them, what was that like for you guys?
Mine was the first time I was called was on the ghost box. It's called to me. Like, numerous times that same night. And the same voice, too. And I was at the Gasberg bed and breakfast.
Was it kind of a nerve you, or were you kind of looking at it going, well, that's cool?
Oh, yeah, I kept trying to edge it on. he said, again, and I had that say. So, yeah, it was kind of, I knew with Don. Well, Don, tell about your name.
Yeah, Workshop. Yeah, they on the ghost box twice, they said my full name, Donald Reen. And all I feel is I work at this place. I'm a paint contractor by trade, and I work there. I feel they knew me. And I thought it was pretty cool that they actually said my full name twice on two different investigations.
What was that? I heard something in the background there.
That's my grandfather clock.
Oh, okay, cool. I was like... Yeah, there's kind of a tradition on this show. The other day we had someone on and their birds started screaming. And I'm like, oh, dude, what? And I'm hearing this bird, ca-caw, ca-caw. So anyway.
Well, last time we were on, my dog's barking. Marilyn?
All right. But, so, I mean, this case, when did you do this case, you know, at the Cajun Kitchen?
That was beginning of August, I think. What, you did it, what, August 7th?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And did you, what was the purpose going there? Was it just mainly just to just see, or was did they bring you in to have you look it over and then come back with, you know, your determination? Was it mainly your, or a training mission kind of thing?
Well, they had already had a group in there. And, you know, me and Scott, we scout around. We'll see older buildings that look cool, look old. And Scott contacted them, and we talked to her. And after she met us, she agreed to have us in there.
What in your minds was probably the most, you know, memorable thing of the evening then when you did this investigation? And for each of you.
Oh, memorable.
Yeah.
Actually, what was memorable really wasn't anything paranormal. I was in the dining room area, and we were getting some flashlight play. And it was responding, you know, turn it off for yes, turn it back on for no, whatever. It was going on and off on command, but I kept hearing this scratching noise. And I kept looking at my daughter and boyfriend. I said, you guys hear that? They're like, no, and I kept hearing this, and I kept hearing it, and it was sort of up by the bar. So when I went up there, I really heard it. And I'm like, what is that? Well, here, they have two pet crawfish in an aquarium, and damn crawfish scratching the glass.
Oh, God. So you found that out later on, or was it and had the aha moment, or was it kind of you were looking around going, what the hell, and then
right.
Had to be told, or
I didn't know they were there. I kept hearing it. I traced it down, and I said, it's over in that corner. When I went around, like, you got to be kidding me. And that's what it was. Two crawfish.
Oh, that's different.
The main memorable thing for me was I only tripped over one thing that night.
You only tripped over one thing.
Yeah. Ask Don. I'm sometimes a little topsy.
Yeah,
it's sort of a habit to fall into things. And we got one more. Who is it that we missed? Was it? Who did we miss on memorable? Were there only two of you on that case?
Yeah. Bill was on that. We're going to go again. He's dying to get in there.
Okay, good. So, all right. So I wasn't sure if he was in on that or not. What other things have been happening since that? You had that in August, right? So there's been, I'm sure you've done other things.
Donnie, we're telling about the barn house, the farmhouse?
Yeah, it was a private residence in it was a little town called. South of York, below the city of Red Line. Private residence, we did the house and the barn.
Oh, this is the barn one, okay.
Reports were they were seeing a headless apparition. There was a humongous field next to the house. They were seeing a headless apparition.
It was Windsor.
Doors were opening by themselves in the house. Knock on doors. Apparently, the one boyfriend was there. They had a mattress on the floor. You heard a noise. He went out, and like the mattress was depressed. Like, you know, if a child would stand on a mattress, you'd see the depression where they were standing, and there was nobody on the mattress.
Whoa. I've seen things like that.
I guess the boyfriend was in the shower, felt this burning on his nipple, and he was scratched there, and there was a burn on his leg. And they feel that the grandmother is there, and she did not approve of this boyfriend.
Whoa. And, you know, so they brought you guys into, this was a real case then where they were wanting some answers and you guys were the first ones in.
Right. And we're going to be going back because apparently it's getting worse.
Wow. I mean, have you done anything with regard to saging and doing some, you know, blessings on the place or try to convince this woman to quit doing this to this guy?
Well, I think since then that boyfriend is gone. But yeah, we're gonna go down again and investigate it again, and then we will try to help them, you know, with a blessing and sage and get rid
of. We had Lisa go through that too.
Yeah, we had our psychic on our team go through.
And what did she come up with?
I had something really, really. I had a good EVP out of there. I don't know if you gave that to him when I was sitting in the chair and I felt something behind me, or I said, "Where are you?" And it said, "Behind you."
Behind the chair. Yeah.
Let's see. I think I've got that right here. EVP.
Behind the chair.
I've got it's cat. I got. Can you hear me? Cooler. Can you hear me at the cooler and bless ya? Or bless ya, I think.
Bless ya.
And then I got the Windsor ones here.
Windsor,
so I'm not sure.
Windsor,
oh, that
the
is
pen.
The one?
I think so, yep.
And so what was the one you're talking about? Something here, something here?
I said behind the chair.
I said,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay. I've got that one, the very first one here. Why don't I go ahead and play that? Here it is, EVP Windsor, Don, where are you at? Where are you at behind the chair? Here we go.
Where are you?
Oh, I heard that at the very end. Here, let me play it again.
Where are you?
Yeah, definitely hear that. That's definite modulation. One more
now
time,
what?
Here we go.
Where are you?
Yeah, that sounds male.
Well, yeah, and what the psychic feels is there's something not human. She feels it's an elemental type spirit there.
Good Lord. So have you researched the history of the place? I mean, do you know anything about its prior history going back, a few hundred years?
The only research I got to do, seeing as I work day work and cannot get to the library, was I know that the house has been in that family for a while, and the grandparents were there, and it was a working butcher farming place.
Oh, boy.
And, yeah, the psychic sort of picked up on Civil War troops possibly camping out there at some point in time on their travel to Gettysburg.
Just intuitively, I'm wondering if it's going back even further. This might go back, back to, 1700s, early 1700s. It feels like that.
It also has a, she said she had a feel for an Indian element, you know, a Native American element.
Yeah. Yeah, it's as if there's a, you know, it was there definitely tribal activity on the land?
That I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I think she's onto something there. That would just be, you know, definitely something to look into. You know, when you're dealing with an elemental thing like that, it sounds male, but it's got a kind of a mocking quality to it. You just hear the very beginning of it before it cuts off. It was almost mocking him.
Yeah, that I had a weird feeling in that barn. I mean, not a normal, regular, run-of-the-mill human spirit type feeling. It didn't feel the best in there. I mean, it wasn't that bad to stand it, but it sort of got under my skin a little.
You ever had it where you guys have, on any of your cases, where you've been followed home?
I have not, but Bill here has. You want to know if anything ever followed us
home? Oh, yeah, I've had an experience with that. It wasn't real pleasant. Hopefully my wife's not listening to this right now, and my days just doing this are over. Yeah, I had an issue at an abandoned cemetery, and unfortunately, before we left, I didn't talk to the spirits that were there and explain to them that they weren't welcome to come along. And I had some issues in my garage, full chest doors opening on their own for 3-4 days. I did set video equipment up, and I did capture it happening. So it was pretty interesting. It woke me up, I can tell you that. Now, I did show the video to Scott and to Don, and they were pretty impressed with it. There was some cleansing done in there, and I haven't had an issue with it since. But that's happened.
So basically when this happened, you know, you didn't do any kind of, so you didn't do any protection on yourself going in or coming out. And
no.
This thing just, did you ever determine what exactly it was?
I did not. I wish I would have been able to find out, but to be honest with you, it scared me enough that I really didn't want to know.
Yeah, we had our little baptism with that at Preston Castle, which is south of us about an hour from where I'm at here in Northern California. And we had the entire team followed home, not just one, but all of us. And had daytime, people were being accosted by this black mass in the daytime. My own mother was basically accosted in our house. And the next day I got up to a very angry mother, because she's on a separate building on the property. And I come in and she tells me this thing came in and held her down. And she managed to, she's a medium herself. And she managed to, basically order it out in the name of God. And it left. And it was like, and then I started getting the phone calls. You know, what do we do? There's this thing. And it took about, basically we had protection on everybody going for a month before it finally started to all, dissipate. And it never came after me, but it went after my mother, which, it really makes you stop and think about what you're getting into when you do this stuff,
Right. Well, the most interesting thing about the whole episode was, unfortunately, it didn't get sent to you, but there was a spirit box session that was performed, and I literally had it cursing at me. These are things you would never hear over the airwaves, and it happened, I don't know, 3-4 times to direct questions. It was
wow.
It was pretty scary. Maybe I can get that up to the website so the people listening can hear it, but it's pretty graphic. It's almost to the point where you don't want to play it, around certain people.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah, have you guys noticed, I've brought this up now and again, but a lot of groups, you'll say this, because you brought up about the cursing. We have a lot of our, a lot of EVPs that are, in our, GRI libraries that are really graphic in that sense. A lot of cursing, a lot of, explicit language. And I've kind of found over the years of doing this that it's a pretty routine thing to get that. I mean, is that something you guys tend to get?
That's the first case that I've had with it. I've heard of others having it, but that was the first time that I've gotten anything like that, and it was to the extreme end. I don't know about Scott and Don.
We just had one case where we call it the potty mouth ghost that we had that.
Yeah. With the Gold Rush, we had a lot of really unsavory characters who were here, mining gold, and it was very lawless. And so it's kind of a feature of the West. And so you get these, amazingly, I guess the word is colorful metaphors you get when you ask certain questions, and you kind of learn how to phrase things so you don't get as much of that. But every site's a little different. We noticed that in the Central Valley, about 2 hours south of us, when we go on cases there, they tend to be much more explicit. And we'll actually make sexual references to you, and you're like, whoa, what are we getting here? But oh yeah, you know, you're like scratching your head. Although I did like the Confederate one we got up in Georgetown, and we actually had Confederate units out here in California, believe it or not. And I was at a Confederate morgue in Georgetown, and it was they had turned that into a bar, and we went in and did some EVP work in there. And I was wearing I work in aerospace, so I was wearing a jacket with a lot of aerospace logos and paraphernalia on it. And I get this EVP with this guy says, "Burn, Yankee."
Wow.
Yeah, and I kind of thought, in California? And then I, you know, okay, that's cool. I'm not a Yankee, am I? I thought that was east on the east side, you know. But anyway, what other things have been going on with you guys, though? I mean, you're progressing in your growth and getting, it sounds like you're really maturing and getting a lot more coming your way. So what other features are happening in new cases and lessons learned and that kind of thing?
Oh, you want to tell them about the cases we have coming up, Scott?
The clock one?
Clock tower?
Yeah, I can do it. John, you'll like this one. Since you said you're into Bill and watches and clocks now, we have...
Yeah.
We have out here in Columbia, PA, same place, vacation places, we have a National Watch and Clock Museum. And it was founded in 1943. It's a nonprofit organization. And it has members included, like, Hollywood students and educators. They have, like, casual collectors, professionals. And they all just have fascination for science and timekeeping. So they just got together and bought this place, and it's been here, like I said, not since 1943. It's moved different places since then, but right now it's actually located in Columbia. And okay. It is the largest museum devoted to timepieces in the Western Hemisphere. So.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Me and Don drove by the other day. It's pretty big.
And it's haunted.
18,000 square foot.
Wow. Yeah. And with people who built hand-built timepieces and knowing the kind of work that goes into those, I'm sure that you know there's a lot of you know different objects in there that are you know got some attachments, if you will. So you, and there's probably been cases reported of. Yeah, I think you told me pre-interview we had footsteps in there.
Yeah, that's their big thing. It is footsteps in the rotunda. But they have time to go back to the 1400s in there.
They've got clocks from the
1400s? Timepieces from the 1400s, he told me.
Wow. And this, and so, what's the descriptions of the activity in more depth? I mean, what things have happened in there? Have they had sightings, or just they're just hearing noises?
Well, what's happening is the director. He's getting his staff is coming up to him. You know, we're hearing these things, and what are you going to do about it? And he's like, well, what can I do about it other than trying to get someone in here to explain, you know, what's going on? He himself, he says it's such a routine thing. He'll be in the building alone. He'll hear the footsteps wherever. He just doesn't even bother anymore to go look because he knows no one's there.
Wow. And it's only footsteps at this point. You know, it hasn't gone beyond that.
He did say that people, I guess he had a woman, a visitor, who was a psychic, said she saw a woman, I believe, in there. And she had told one of the people working there. But yeah, it's mostly audio. It's knockings. A lot of footsteps, which I have yet to actually hear footsteps that aren't there. So I'm anxious to get in there. I want to hear it for myself.
I've heard footsteps. We had a case. The place I work at is a large one of the original. Defense industry propulsion plants in the United States. And it's been around since the 1950s. And I'm the second generation of our family that's worked out there, although I went a different direction than my father did with the technology I got into. And But yeah, in the early days, there was a lot of accidents out there because they didn't have robotics to handle these high energy materials. And there was a place called Line 3 where they had a terrible accident and an autoclave blew up and it killed three guys outright, just took them out. And 2 years ago, I went out there at night and went out on one of the back easement roads off plant and just did a quick EVP session just to see, you know, is there anybody from these accidents that are still wandering around, because they were killed instantly. You know, they wouldn't even know they're dead at this point. And I'm out there with a friend of mine, and she's standing there with me, and we both start hearing footsteps. I start calling out. And I started rattling off program names from back in those days. And suddenly we hear across the field, we hear footsteps, and I thought it was a deer. And it was only when the footsteps transitioned to the gravel and started crunching the gravel right across the road from us in the dark, and it was moonlit night, and so there was nothing, you know, there was nobody there. And the hair went up on both of us, and we got that chill, and you knew. And we got actually a great EVP out of it. And a name of a guy named Sven. And when I asked my father about this, you know, that accident, my mother remembered it before he did, that the guy that was killed, one of the three killed in the autoclave accident, was named Sven. So, yeah, you know, you'll never forget your first footstep, where, especially where they walk up to you. I guarantee it.
Here, I found my paperwork on this clock tower. I'll tell you what he told me. Footsteps in the rotunda, visitors being coped, female voice from the rotunda. Two or three times they've gone into the gift shop to have stuff thrown all over the place.
Wow. Somebody ain't happy.
Yeah. There was a group that did it before us, and a lot of their EVPs were spirit voices asking permission to do things. Permission EVPs. They have 3,000-pound pendulum clocks that get manually started by the staff in the morning, get stopped when it's closed by the night watchmen. These things are really heavy. The night watchman will stop them, then he'll make his rounds, he'll come back, and every now and again, and it's not any particular one of them heavy pendulums will restart on its own.
This, somebody's trying to get attention, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just not, and this is a case that's coming up, right?
Yes, and what's really interesting about this little history on this was that there's three or four homes tore down to make room for this massive place, and there's a hospital across the street in the 50s, and right in the front, there used to be a dump. Now, story has it that, quote, things were found in this dump, like body parts, stuff from medicinal waste. It's graphic, but like aborted fetuses, this is the story.
Oh, boy.
And this built right on top of this dump, where this dump used to be.
And they put a museum, a clock museum, on top of this.
They put a clock museum on top of it.
You know, I have to wonder if at some point as investigators and paranormal teams, if we will ever approach real estate companies and say, you know, you might think about having some policies about what, you know, disclosing the things that have been there before to the people. You know,
right.
A full
right.
History. And, you know, I mean, and I know there's like haunting laws on the books. Although I'm sure a lot of it isn't followed, but, you know, it just, God, that may explain a bunch of it. What is your plan going in? What do you, and I'm going to kind of doing this on purpose to lead into, you know, having some of the audience maybe call in and get advice from you guys about your techniques and paranormal investigating, in general. So, you know, the phone lines are open, by the way, 646-478-0377. But to go on, I mean, what's your plan? What, you know, how are you guys going to do this investigation?
Well, first, we haven't even been inside the place. When we met the fellow, it was after hours, and I don't know why he didn't want to take us, but we're going to get a tour of the place first, but and then we're going to find out where the hot spots are, because we're going to use what the two other groups use, certain spots they got nothing, so we're not even going to, you know, we're going to concentrate on the hot spots. We'll just make sure we say, you know, an opening prayer for protection, and then we will, you know, go about our business as usual. But we'll ask the questions, you know, are you trying to find out if spirits are there because of past things, I'll just say. And then, you know, help them.
Are you going to try to, I don't think you guys do provoking at all, but are you going to try to do some things to try to attract them in, you know, to see, you know, see if you can get them baited to come into a particular place?
We might try. It just depends, you know, the feeling, how things are going. And we don't normally provoke. I don't, you know, and I ask, none of the staff feels threatened. They just want to know what's going on. So,
are you going to try some simple things like, you know, when you're talking footsteps, this is something I've always wanted to do. And I, eventually, one of our cases, when we get one of these, I'm going to take flour with me, you know, corn flour or something, and scatter it and see if we can get, you know, actual footsteps.
I've done that.
You've done it?
Yep. And it was at a one restaurant and bar where they say they see someone looking, the staff, the morning staff said they see someone looking out a window, and I put flour under that window. And sure enough, I had footsteps leaving that window, circling around and going into a room that's not there anymore that used to be there.
Whoa.
But I'm still skeptical because I know the room is locked. I know only one person had a key, but I was not there the whole time to make sure no one was up there. So, you know, but I did get footsteps or they look like boot marks.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I'm not completely convinced that that was paranormal because, you know, I don't know the night or the night before or whatever.
Well, you said it went into the other room where there was, so it was like another wall and then it just stopped at the wall?
Well, what happened was is it's a big open room. You could see on the floor where the wall was on the floor and then you saw the 2x4 line, and it went over, and then it stopped where the door was, and then it started again with the other. It sort of like quartered off the room, and the footsteps left that window, made an arch over, and the footsteps went into the door where the door would have been. And that is where, and it's documented, that is where a fellow committed suicide.
And on the other side of that wall, what was on the other side of it?
Well, there's nothing there, but what would have been on the other side of that wall would have been the bedroom of this fellow who committed suicide.
Oh, and what's there now? In place of that?
It's completely open. The wall was taken out.
Wow. If it led up to it, I got to say, I mean, if it led up to it, even though you couldn't lock it off, if it led up to it and then you've got no footprints going backwards, that's pretty darned evidential, you know.
Well, no footprints leading in, and they weren't full footprints leading in. It was flour. I was seeing flour. You know, in the beginning they were real heavy. Then I was seeing like just the heel, and then that started to fade. But the flour went into where the door would have been. That's where I followed the flour to.
Wow. I mean, it's your instinct that it was a real. You really did catch it.
Well, the bar owner was like, I come down, I said, I want some flour. And she said, what? I said, can you give me a cup full of flour? I want to try something. So then she called me the next day. She goes, Don, that stupid thing that you wanted to do, she goes, you got to get down here. There's footprints. I'm like, yeah, right. Well, there was.
Except it worked. Oh, dear God. I mean, do they know who this person is?
The documented suicide's in there. Another fellow hung himself in that room. There was a stabbing in the front of the establishment on the side street. There was a I guess a guy got in a fight with three or four guys. He literally got beat to death, and one of the past owners passed away in that establishment. So,
jeez,
that was a fucked place.
That sounds like my kind of haunt. I'd like to hit that place.
It's all night. Things were going on.
Oh, it just kept going and going, huh?
And we got tons of stuff out of there, yeah.
Oh, boy. You going to go back to that one?
I don't know. I'd
like to go back there also. I mean, we could probably do it. It's just that it's sort of a conflict of interest. I got into that bar through a friend. That was his girlfriend. They are no longer together. I don't know how receptive she would be now.
Oh, boy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. A little bit, just sometimes it's just better to just take what you've got and go on. But still,
right.
I mean, that's such an amazing capture. I mean, you see it on taps. You know, I mean, that's the first time I saw that trick with flour. And I've always wanted to try that, you know. But I've done stuff where we've done lock-offs, though, you know, and had wild things happen. I did a lock-off situation in a hotel down in Volcano, California, where we locked off a room, top floor of a hotel. And we were earlier talking about tapping on the microphone. And I had the room closed, and we went out to dinner, came back, and when I ran the evidence, the next couple of days later, there was all this tapping and moving of the actual recorder. And, and there were no mice, there were no rats, there was no indication that, you know, any animal got in there. You know, it's an active running hotel, and we had the whole place to ourselves. So the stuff happens, you know, and we were hearing knocking, and you were hearing things like the building being hit hard, shaking, kind of a thumping and shaking noise. So, and when we were back in there, we didn't hear any of that. So, you know, this stuff happens, and the whole night was just like that. What you were talking about, it's just one thing after another. Though we were seeing orbs with our bare eye, you know, with our eyes. You're seeing orbs flying around, and we had we're hearing voices, getting deep chills, that kind of thing. In one room, we felt like we were really not wanted, and when we got the EVPs back, it was this guy screaming at us to get out. So. You know, you just, those are the ones that stick in your head, you know? And it sounds like that case was one of them for you guys.
I don't think as much that they didn't want us there. The owner of this establishment, she had a paranormal night where we did a review, and then we took, people actually paid money to eat, see the evidence, and then we took them on tour.
Mm-hmm.
I had three tours of people. And I either had a flashlight come on, I had something happen for everybody, which was pretty wild.
I've never done the flashlight trick, as part of our, and I don't mean it as a trick per se, but I've never done the flashlight technique. Can you describe how that works and what you guys do,
Right, which is take a regular maglite flashlight, and you turn it so it just goes off. So really all you have to do would be to tap it, and it would flicker a little, That's almost there. And I used to think that they physically moved it, but I think now that they use their energy to turn it on. Used probably 10 different flashlights. I've actually had guests come along with their own flashlight who were disbelievers, and it said you have a clicker in your pocket. I had them open up the Maglite flashlight bought fresh from Walmart, put the batteries in, set it, take it across the room, and I've had that flashlight come on and off on command.
Wow.
So I don't like to use that technique, but I like to use other things. I only spend about 10 minutes on it and move on.
Do you think, you were talking about using your energy to do that. It's almost to the point of turning on. Do you think that they actually bridge the connection then? Is it, they're actually shorting across to create
that's
the...
That's
Yeah, it's just, and they're using, that's the part that I try to understand. I mean, I look at the physics of it, and I'm going, Ryan, how do they do it? How do they make that work, you know? And it's got to be a lot of effort for them to do that, you know? But, I mean, in some ways it might actually, I never stopped to think about that. Here they are. If they're bridging the gap to make that light go on, they're actually becoming part of the circuit, and it may actually help them energize. And you know what I'm saying? It may actually give them a boost.
Right.
Yeah, I never thought about that before.
I mean, I've sat a water, empty water bottle next to the flashlight, and I'd start asking questions, you know. Can you move the water bottle? It's real easy. If so, turn the flashlight on. And if I said, well, come on, and I'll be like, okay, now move the water bottle. Nothing happens. Then I'll say, okay, turn the flashlight off for me. And it'll go off. And then I'll say, okay, you say you can. Will you move it? Or, you know, will you? If you can, but you don't want to, turn the flashlight on. If I said, oh, come on. All right, turn the flashlight on. And it'll go off. It's crazy. Sometimes we don't get anything. Other times we get lots of what I call flashlight play.
At that bar, we had three different flashlights set up. And
no,
it was funny. We were downstairs doing a flashlight session, and I'd go, okay, turn that one on and turn on. I say, okay, turn this one over here, turn on. Okay, I'll turn that one off. It would go off. Now turn this one off. It's just weird. It just kept following what I was saying.
I have got to try that. I mean, I've done, I've got quite a bit, a load of different sorts of gear. I've got, the EM Vortex, EM pumps, so works. And I've noted the EM pump and Vortex do seem to stimulate activity. When I've done especially with outdoor investigations, we're really big on those, going actually into the brush and going to old sites and working out, in the outdoors, and usually in the daytime even. We'll get great EVPs on some of these old gold rush sites. But, I'm going to try that. It's a nice, simple technique. I've just never done it. I've done a lot of different kinds of things, but I have talked about it in the past, and I do have in my lab here, I've got a bunch of micro switches because I build my own gear. And I've thought about that many a time. If they're bridging the connection and able to do that, I wonder if they can mechanically move a very sensitive micro switch, which they can engage and actually just put enough physical force on it. Because I know that they can move objects. There's been some discussion in and I've seen it across in various forums and magazines about the paranormal, that spirits can exert up to about 10 to 15 pounds of force if they really want to. So they should be able to move a small switch and activate a light, So, I mean, it's a real simple circuit to build. All you need is just this little, dinky micro switch, and you could have an LED. And they could do that. So I'm going to do this one of these days. I'm going to build this thing. Who knows? It could turn out to be something. But, I was trying to think of where to take this. I mean, what have you guys done any work with while you're doing that? Do you tend to combine, different sorts of recording and evidence to get, evidence gathering together when you're doing this stuff with the flashlights? Are you photographing it and taping it?
We videotaped it. We take pictures. I've actually had a couple times an EMF detector go off and then the flashlight come on, which I thought was pretty neat because, that's shown there's electromagnetic field there, some kind of energy, and then the flashlight comes on. I also have a device that measures vibration, geophone. I've had that go on, and then the flashlight go off. Come on. Also.
Yeah, I built one of those, and that's something I've been waiting to use. And you got it. Yeah, I think you probably got that from the same outfit I did. I'm trying to remember the name. It was like a $30 or $40 kit, and they're very easy to put together, and they've got the little geophone sensor. And they're amazingly sensitive,
The Melmeter has one. I bought the extra, spent the extra money and got that.
Oh, the Melmeter guys are doing it now, too? Well, yeah, somebody finally caught on. Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing is, you know, it's funny because I heard a lot of people really coming down, you know, on the whole concept of using those. And then and it was somebody who was being a real skeptic. And I said, well, wait a minute. You know, let's turn it on its head. Why don't you use it as a means to detect if anybody living is coming up to the site, rather than to see it as a, you know, as detecting a, quote, spirit. And then they couldn't say anything, and I'm going, see, so there's some value in it. You know, you could put these things around and, you know, have cameras on them, and you could detect if somebody was walking up on it. You know, because, I mean, even the slightest movement. I actually got to see the ones that Taps was using and actually got to handle them myself and really look them over and see them at work. And, you know, over at what was it, Wolf Manor. Over down in Clovis, and you couldn't walk, but you know, on some of the wooden floors, you could be 50 feet away and take a step, and that thing would go off.
Yeah,
you know, they're incredibly sensitive.
Yep.
Yeah. So I mean, are you, and that's in the regular kit for you guys right now, right?
Yes.
So you've got the footstep case coming up, and so you've got the, you know, you're going to do this general kind of a first investigation of it. Have you done any of the research into the, you know, the past of that particular place, you know, beyond, you know, what the owners have talked about?
I haven't had a chance to. Scott needs to get on that.
Okay, well, I have some stuff already. It's actually a very thorough, I'll have to get into the whole thing, because it's on a website. It's like five paragraphs long of the whole history of it. But if you actually go on to the website itself, I can actually put the link in the chat if people want to go check out the history. It's a whole big page of it. I just did the brief thing tonight, so I can put that in chat if you guys want.
Yeah, go ahead. I just stuck the top level link out there for you, but yeah, go ahead with the more specific one. And do that. By the way, I saw your on the PM that you gave me, Scott. I'm going to try to figure this out because I don't have on my board. I can't just quite dial out for the person you wanted me to dial out for.
That's all right. It's okay.
Yeah, I think I might be able to pull it off through Skype here if I can. I could dial out, but it's my board link to stay on the show. So I'm a little about it during the show. I could go to break and we could try to do it and see if we could pull that off. But you know, you are you willing to risk it? Because all I'd have to do is dial back.
Well, that would bother because she's chatting in the room having a good time. I think she's okay.
She's not in a place she could dial in, or is that it, or?
Her it's long distance for her, and her cell phone, she said, is dead. So.
Okay, let me see if I can pull this off. I'm trying to, you know, I got to turn the mic here. My broadcast computer is farther away from the mic here. I'm trying to find on Skype how to pull this off. Is there an ad here? Add participants. Add to call. And I don't think I can do this without a lot of.
Is she even in there anymore?
Oh, she's not in there in the chat anymore?
I think she left, yeah.
Okay, well then, we'll, you know what, I'm not going to risk it because.
Don't bother. I'll just get on
all right.
Tomorrow.
Okay. I've got, you know, it's funny. I know that if you go with like the super duper maxi plan from Blog Talk, you can get the dial out capability. Actually, I wonder. Oh, you know what? I just found this on the board. I can do this. Hey, I learned something new. Can you post that? You know, I lost that number. Let's try to call her. I can call her. I thought it was. I didn't realize I had that. Repost that for me because I lost the. I lost that in the deal. We'll see if we can bring her in.
All right.
Let's see. I know it was a 717. Yeah, there we go. What? Oh, that's the clock.
Yeah, clock.
Okay, here we go. I'm going to go ahead and dial. And go along with me on this, guys. I'm going to play this. Your name is Angie.
She's probably in bed.
I was going to tell her it's, hello?
Yes.
Yes, this is Sears Roebuck. Would you like to sell you some things?
What is this?
Actually, this is John Almada on Blog Talk Radio. You're actually on the air. We're looking for Angie. She's a member of a paranormal team, and her friends would like to have her on with us.
Oh, no.
Sears Roebuck. I almost got him. I was trying to get... I was, like, laughing so hard.
You're on the air.
Oh, nice.
Hi, Angie.
I'm getting ready to go to bed.
Well, you need to pop in and say hi.
Hello.
Hi, my name's John, and it's good to have you on. You're on Soulstream on Blog Talk Radio, and we've got Scott and Don and all the gang here. We've got Bill also with us. And Scott put me up to this to have you get called in, and so I'm calling you. So we'll take it from there, Scott. It's you take it.
Well, we just went over some investigations, like at the Cajun restaurant. Do you remember anything? Do you remember it? Would like to help out in there?
Restaurant, the original, the very first time.
The very first one, yeah.
No, I just, when we had the flashlight play in the basement, obviously, and then I took your picture and we had that black mist show up.
Yeah, black mist. And then another good one was we were up in the dining room and we did EVP work up there. And I don't know if you had that EVP or not, John, where I'm talking to the spirit there and I said, go over and give Angie a big kiss on the cheek. And EPP, it says, I don't want to.
Oh, I think I've got bless you. I think I've got bless you, and I've got something here. Keep walking. Where are you at? Behind the chair. It's cat. I don't have that. I don't have that one. I think I remember seeing it. I didn't upload it this time. But, yeah, what's the story behind this one you're talking about, though?
We're doing EPP session up in the dining room, and we were getting some flashlight play, and we think it was, what's that guy's name, Don? I forget who we thought it was. The guy who was cooked.
Ralph.
And yeah, I said, Ralph, go over and give her a kiss on the cheek. And well, like I said, whenever we did the EVP analysis, it sounds like it's saying, I don't want
to. Oh, dear God.
That's not very nice.
Well, that was okay. I really didn't want one anyway.
Yeah, I'm sure she really appreciated that, guys. Take the pretty lady and get her in front of the monsters and demons. Okay, it's no big deal. Yeah, right. Yeah. So
I think we're putting both of them spot.
So how did you get involved with all of this?
Well, I've known Scott forever, and he told me that when they were with the group before this, that what he was doing, and he knew that I was interested in that too. So I actually went along on an investigation with the previous group, and then when they decided to form their own group, he had asked me if I'd be interested in joining a few of the investigations here and there and see if I like it. And I really do enjoy it, but I think for me, I don't see things as quickly as other people because I want to see them too bad, maybe. I'm too willing a victim.
You know what? Give yourself time. I mean, it's funny because, you know, the more you do it, and especially if you just relax, that seems to be the secret. And the more you're around the paranormal, you start developing your sensitivities to it, and it actually seems to stimulate psychic and mediumistic abilities in people. A lot of folks have this happen. So just be patient with it. Because it's funny, I don't know if you guys have the same opinion, but I mean, and an experience of this, but I've noticed when I go out on cases, and I have a lot of high expectations for the case, that's when the ones that are really a bomb, and the ones I didn't think were going to turn out to be much turn out to be our best stuff.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, just go in with no expectations and you learn from every investigation. I mean, even the ones that kind of bomb out, you'll find that you learn something, especially when you go through your debrief and you come back and you look at what you learned, and maybe you learned something new about your equipment. Maybe you learned something new about the person next to you, a technique from them that you didn't appreciate. So it's, the more you do it, the better you'll get, so just keep at it. I mean, and just put some firm rules about having ghosts kiss you. That's a big one.
I didn't volunteer for that one.
Yeah, they have a tendency, especially guys, do that, they take the girls on the team and then volunteer them for all these terrible duties. It's, you ladies need to rise up and, beat us up for doing that.
Last investigation we had, there was supposed to be a woman here in the basement, so he said they're going to send all the girls down by themselves.
Oh, dear God.
We didn't know.
So, what have you experienced so far, Angie? What have you seen in things that you've sensed and run into?
I did actually go, my very first ghost hunt was probably, I believe it was 5-6 years ago. And a friend of mine has a nephew who does small films about various subjects. And he was doing one on ghost hunting. And he went to various places all over the United States. And he's from California. So he was in Pennsylvania he went somewhere in Gettysburg to do an investigation. And then he had asked my friend and I to go along to Prospect Place in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And ghost hunters had done them after, because I had never heard of it before, and probably maybe 2 months after we went, that's when ghost hunters was there. So that was my first time actually going on a real investigation, and that place was amazing. It was, the creepy factor was over the top. But there was just so many things that had happened there with Underground Railroad, and they had some deaths from the workers and things. And that, when we were there, my friend and I were in the basement trying to collect EVPs, and just as we turned our machines off, we heard a girl whisper behind us. So, of course, we didn't capture that.
You both heard it?
Yeah, we both heard it at the same time, because we looked at each other and we were just like, was that you? And it was right behind us as we were walking out of the basement. And there was the owner's daughter had passed away right at the beginning of winter, and the family put her in the basement because the ground was too hard to dig. So the body was kept down there until the spring when they could bury her. And the mother supposedly went down every day and spent time with the body. So there are many people that have gone there before, and they've gotten photographs of a little girl in the windows, and they've gotten a lot of orbs in her room.
Wow.
So that's the first thing that we heard. And then the second thing that I heard when I was there was, I saw when I was on the third floor, there was a ballroom. And apparently another woman that had lived there had passed away, and she said to frequent the top floor. And it's a very unusual room. It's a U-shape, like a horseshoe. And they used to have their dances there and their celebrations.
Yeah.
And we were sitting up there, pitch black dark, and just taking photos and talking. And I could have sworn I saw from the waist up just a black figure look around the corner and stare at us and then pop back.
That's the norm for us. We see a lot of that, and it's and now when you say you saw only the top part, was it would it have been a full view that you would have seen, or you only saw the top half and there was nothing below?
Yeah, it looked like somebody was looking around the corner.
Oh, okay.
So they were peeking around the corner, so I only saw them from about the waist up.
Yeah, that we get a lot of that. And it's just, I think it's kind of a universal phenomenon. You'll get them peering around a corner or catching the corner of the eye, and you just get enough you get enough definition to know it's a human shape. But sometimes though, you'll get them where you'll look and you'll almost catch it full on view, and you'll realize that you just saw something that was only the top torso or the bottom leg. And only a partial manifestation, you know. So that's in your future. You're going to enjoy that one.
Yeah, it caught me off guard because I just kept staring, and I thought, is that what I thought it was? And, of course, the person that was with me at the time, she was looking at her camera at things that we had just taken, so she wasn't even looking in that direction. So, of course, she didn't see it.
When you guys see something, I mean, what's your standard procedure? Kind of a shot for all of you on this one. When you do see something like that, do you immediately call out and everybody converge? Or, what's your process for handling those sorts of things?
Run towards it.
And then what do you do? Get her, Ray? Get her.
There's like some kind of, yeah, you know what? Did you see that?
But bottom line is you do you mark time? You know, do you try to mark the time of the event and get everybody to kind of agree that, you know, or look at what's happened and try to come up with a consensus as to what they think they saw?
I've only really ever seen anything like that one time. I was the only one to see it. Actually, Scott was walking down a hall taking pictures, and, you know, it's dark, and you get that flashlight, and I thought I saw a head poke out and look at me, a shadow figure. So I closed my eyes, and I said to myself, I don't know if I saw what I just saw. And the client's aunt was on the mattress the other side, and in front of her was a wall, so she could not see what I saw. So I said, okay, I'll just tell Scott about it on the way home. And when we were packing up, she said, okay, you can tell me what you saw. Now she goes, better yet, I'm going to show you. And I'm thinking, yeah, right. So she walked out a door, walked up two steps and poked her head around the door, and I about fell over. So that's what
Whoa.
I saw. And she had ability. Yeah, she had something. And that was crazy. This was my very first hunt, and that affected me greatly because I didn't think I slept real well for the next 2 days. So I could not get that out of my head.
And how does she know? I mean, I didn't quite catch it. How did she know that you had seen this? Or did she see it too at the same time? Or
that she saw it in her mind. So she either read in my mind or she saw it in her mind. There's no way she could have seen it because there was a hall, and I was at the very corner sitting on the bed, on the mattress at the one wall, and then there was on the other side of the mattress, if you look straight ahead, that she had 6 foot of wall in front of her.
Yeah.
She couldn't see that. But she
and
knew
her,
she
she's
me.
Gifted. She's gifted
yeah.
with, you know, I mean, and so your take is kind of like ours. We use remote, you know, people doing remote vision, and then we generally have a medium. You know, and I mean, I'm founder of my group, and I'm a medium, so I mean, it kind of goes hand in hand. But sometimes I recuse myself from doing that. You know, although I'll pick up stuff, but I'll have another person in to do, you know, that fills that role, and that's all they need to be doing. And they go in and kind of ahead of everybody and kind of get the feel of things, and then come back and report. And then we turn everybody loose, and we try not to communicate too much, so we're not putting expectations in people's heads. And then we can collate everything together at the end and see what, you know, what fits and what doesn't. But yeah, that's darn good. I mean, and what was it about it? I mean, that surprised you so much that it just blew your mind that could actually happen.
Yeah, my mind. Like I said, this was my first actual hunt. I've had some experience, but And I actually saw why that particularly got to me, I don't know. There was a child involved, and I love kids. I have a son of my own, and it was sort of emotional for me to try to help his family, and that just, I don't know, just stuck with me. I'll never forget.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I mean, it's very disconcerting, you know, on your first, you know, when you're first doing this stuff and you start having things happen. I mean, I'll never forget my, you know, some of my first full-on apparitions I dealt with, you know. I've had probably a good 10 or so sightings where I've had, you know, almost face-to-face encounters where I've seen things at, you know, at 20 feet and less, including the one that got to me like it got to you was at a bookstore in downtown Placerville. We spent the night in there, and it was old Hangtown, and there were a lot of deaths there, a lot of lawlessness, a lot of hangings, a lot of, shady justice dealt, so to speak. And the place we were staying was a bookstore, but in the past it had been a house of ill repute, to put it nicely. And we were getting great EVPs there, and I was getting some strange EMF readings, had bent down, and was looking at, you know, trying to find the source of this K2 reading that had pegged my meter twice. And just as I raised up, and I was near a bookcase, and this I felt something nearby, and all of a sudden this gray mass peeks out at me, and I'm face to face, not 6 inches away from this spirit looking at me. And it was like, it didn't have any eyes, just these two kind of sockets where the eyes were, should have been. And it was just this grayish kind of black mass. And it was just right in front of me. I mean, and I think I surprised it as much as it did me, because it jumped backward about the same time I did. And then, the rest of my team was in the next room, and I'm yelling, I started yelling at my photographer. I'm going, get in here, and shoot everything you can. Just start shooting. Just shoot everything. And I had my recorder running. And one of our policies is we always run a recorder from the moment we get there to the time we leave. It's and it's a lot of evidence to go through, but boy, do you get the evidence. And when we played that particular section back, we got all this laughing on EVP. Of these things laughing at us. And so, I mean, but it really got to me. I mean, to have something like that, especially when you're looking it right in the face, you know, and all you see is like something where the eyes should have been, it kind of sticks in your head, you know?
I guess what got me, that particular instance, I was new to it. I went in there with the attitude that, you know, I'm going to do everything scientifically. I'm going to try to debunk everything that I can. And if I can't, then, you know, maybe. But when you're smacked in the face with something like that, that's what stuck. And I had to get my head around it. I'm a lot more open now, but at that point, Tom, I wasn't as open as I am now, and I had to get my head around it. I guess
yeah,
that's what...
It's something that you build a tolerance for it. You know, I've been aboard the USS Hornet a bunch of times, and I've aboard Queen Mary in different places, you know, real famous haunts, and had experiences now. And it's, you know, and it's still surprising, but you're used to it. You know, I've seen like, you know, shadows and mists and had, you know, doors open for me and things like that. You know, smells, heard whistling. We had that on the Hornet. And you finally just go, oh, this is the way it is, and you can deal with that, and it's, you don't even think twice about it, although it's interesting evidence, you know. But
yeah.
when you're first beginning, yeah, right, this ain't normal, you know. Now I've got some, you know what, we've kind of blown through quite a bit of our time, but I wanted to see about if we could play. I'm just going to walk through the EVPs we've got. And, you know, play a bunch for the audience here and have you guys describe this. We did the one behind the chair, but I've got the Windsor one. I think this is the barn one with Keep Walking. Can you describe a little bit about that?
Actually, there wasn't any questions asked on that, I believe. I think after reviewing the evidence in the barn, I just picked that up.
Oh, so it just came out.
Yeah.
So who recorded that?
We had a voice recorder in the barn.
Oh, so you just had a static recorder, and it just.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's play it. Here we go. Keep walking. I heard that. It's kind of about midpoint, and it's a very low male type voice. Here we go again. Yeah, keep walking. Yeah, it's kind of low. It's kind of in there, but and was that the voice kind of that? Is that the only instance of that voice?
I think the one we had close to that one was, I'm not sure I sent it to you or not, but the name of the guy who lived there before, what was the name, Don? Remember I picked him actually saying his name?
Hold on.
I forget his name.
Hold on. Believe it or not, his name was Benjamin Franklin, or Frank.
His last name was
Franklin.
The Benjamin Franklin, as in
Franklin was middle name. His last name was. Remember, I called you that party. Find his last name.
I don't have his last name here. I have Benjamin Franklin, and his wife's name was Rosemary, but they called him Frank.
Wow.
Oh, Gone. Gone. Remember Frank Gone?
Well, that was her. That was the last name was Gone, yes.
Yeah, last name is Gone. I picked up a voice in the barn saying Frank Gone.
Okay. Yeah. And that's the same voice that said to keep walking?
The weird story about that is I was going over the evidence, and I heard this Frank. I thought it said Frank Gone. Yeah, it was gone, but Tom was at a party one night, and I called him, and then, because I knew the last name of the family, we noticed it, I didn't know it, and then I guess the psychic lady was there too, and she said last name Gone. I was like, oh my God, he just said his full name, Frank Gone.
Well, that's nice confirmation.
Yeah.
Well, what about something here, something here? Did we play that one before?
No.
We did. Okay, let's go ahead and play something here, something here. This is a 3-second one. Here we go. Oh, wow. I heard that. Here we go again. Wow. Definitely. It sounds like a male, whispering loudly. And was that the same recorder?
That same recorder in the barn, yeah.
Wow, so it was just you guys were walking around and you had that going on and you were just picking that all up. That's neat stuff. Now we've got the one, I think Bless You.
This was from the Cajun place.
Yeah, from the Cajun place.
Yeah. This is when Angie, who is this one, me, her, and this other girl, I can't remember her name. Is it Teresa? Sorry, or Terry?
I think it was Teresa.
It's either Teresa or Terry that was with us. But us three, me answering her down there, and we were doing a UP session, and she coughed, and it kind of sounded like a sneeze, I guess, because it sounds like there's a spirit coming back and says, bless you.
All right. I like that about spirits who have good manners.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. We're going to play Bless You. Here we go.
Yeah.
I heard that.
Yeah.
That's good. I like that. we've had some well-mannered ones too, who always they seem to be perfect gentlemen or ladies, and they seem concerned for you too. One more here, and we're going to have to start to wind things down a little bit. But it's Cat. Now, can you give us a little bit about that one?
Okay. Just like you, we always leave our recorders running to the very end. Even when we're starting to pack up the recorders, put in the cases. Well, this one was actually on the bar at the Cajun place. It was the last one we did. Well, not 30 seconds before the tape ended, I caught this voice. It's a little
okay.
girl.
All right, here we go. Oh, wow. That is a nice EVP. That is nice. Let me play that again.
Hey, Don, wasn't there supposed to be a cat they saw in there before?
Yeah. One of the things that Sharon, the owner of Purdom's, had said was, I guess they're, see, it's a restaurant, and then it's rooms, and she rents rooms out to individuals, and they stay there. A fellow heard a noise that he recorded. It sounded like a cat in heat. So he was scared, but he took his cell phone and I guess turned it on voice recorder and sat it outside the door. And then he brought it to her to let her listen to this. So that's where the cat reference comes.
Wow.
So we were asking, you know, it sounds like a cat in heat, and then you get this EVP says it's a cat.
It sounds that the way that voice sounds, you know, that one where I had the case I had in Placerville at that old House of Ill Repute, we had a similar thing. It was just getting to the end of the investigation, and we had a woman. It was the last few minutes of our recording as we were buttoning up to leave, and this woman's voice comes in and goes, "It's Rosie. It's Rosie," and it turns out there was a woman who was a famous lady of the evening named Rosie, who did her thing there. So, you know, you never know what you're going to catch just before you close everything up. So it's a good thing to have those recorders running. So, well, guys, we're about 4 minutes out from the end of it. Another good show with you guys. You know, you're regulars here, and you're always welcome.
Oh, that was a cool one. Oh, we have a blast.
Okay. Well, now you're going to – when are you going to do this next investigation?
Well, next one, we have two more coming up that we have scheduled, good ones. The first one is the museum one is January the 7th, and we had the Battlefield Bed and Breakfast. We're doing that one again but with our group January 21st.
All right. And you and I were talking about too some stuff. You know, I'll give you a call hereafter. You know, in the coming week to talk about some stuff that we might be able to do together, and in a very unique way. So you know, that's something for the future. But I wanted to thank all of you for coming in. And Angie, I'm sorry for calling you this late just before you went to bed.
I know. I just had closed the computer down and put my son in bed, and I was just crawling in the bed, and the phone rang, and my husband's like, "Who's that?"
I told him it was Sears and Roebuck, and I had stuff to sell him. I'm sorry.
Oh, no wonder you sound confused.
I had him, like, I was sitting there, and I could not carry it off. I was going, "Oh no, I can't do this to these poor people." The guilt got me because it was the East Coast, and I'm thinking, "Oh, geez, I'm going to be in trouble for this."
See, and the bad thing is we're having a problem with Sears right now. So that was perfect.
Oh, dear God. Sorry. Scott made me do it. Okay. He had a gun at my head. It's true.
I believe that completely.
It was the beer. Okay. Well, anyway, guys, I appreciate you coming on. We'll go ahead and call it a night here and wish you all a great night and some great investigations coming up forward. And know you'll be back. So, so thanks a lot for being part of the show tonight.
Hey,
thanks
keep yourself healthy.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, guys. See you later.
Okay.
We'll see you.
All right. Bye now. I put myself on mute. That was the good folks of Gasp, and I was really glad to have them on. I'm going to read off who's in chat. We've got Carrie Whisper, my dear friend from South Africa, Castle 407. Kathy, hello, my dear. Kathy Stistinekos is here. Gasp, Scott Wise, who we just had on. JV34, Nancy Mum, hello. Stardub and Ted P10, so good to see all of you. We're going to be on tomorrow night for a very special show. We're going to be doing EVP work on air and work with the Ovilus at 9:30 Pacific, 12:30 Eastern. So a special Monday show by special request, and it's already scheduled and out on the board. So we will be on tomorrow night. Look for us here, and we'll have a great time. It's going to be good to get back into doing some EVP work. I've been missing it. And the spirit world's been jumping all over my case to make me do this. So we will do that. So with that, 10 seconds out, we love you guys, and we will see you tomorrow. And have a great night. And don't let the bed bugs bite and all that stuff. I don't see a ghost. Well, maybe. Anyway, see you guys later. Bye now.
This is a shot
live from our studios in Shingle Springs, California. You're listening to Soul Stream on blogtalkradio.com.
Yo, Christina, Missy, how about we have a little Oscar-licious fun up in this joint?
You might not ever get rich. Let me tell you, it's better than digging a ditch.
Pretty song for a pretty lady out there in South Africa.
How do I get through a night without you? If I had to live without you, what kind of life?